Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today's show is our annual year in review. We will be joined by the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and from the Minnesota National Guard, the Adjutant General. Joining me now in the studio is Commissioner Larry Shelleteau from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, welcome back to the studio.
Good to be back.
Sir, you've been a frequent guest of the show for the 8-plus years that we've been on the air. I think you might have been on the show more than anyone.
Probably. It goes way back.
It does go way back. Actually started and took its roots when you were the Adjutant General. Mm-hmm. And then you got through with that shift, and I thought you were going to retire for a while. And the next thing I know, Governor Dayton asked you to take over this position as Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And has that been about 8 years now, sir?
It will be exact. Well, actually, first of all, I applied for it. And Dayton accepted me.
Then we can admit that now.
Yeah. Well, the interesting part about that is we got to know each other when he was senator. I was the tag at the time, and go out to D.C., and you'd always visit with the legislative representation out there. And so when I applied, when I retired from the Adjutant General, I lasted about 2-3 weeks, and I said, I'm not ready. I just
need something to do.
Something to do. And then this was open. So I said, I'll just put my resume together, and found out. I interviewed with them and found out that, I got the job.
So you traded responsibilities for 12,000 soldiers and 2,000 airmen for taking care of some 350,000 or more veterans in the state of Minnesota.
Actually, back then, it was even more than that. You know, that World War II generation has been moving on. But yes, it's a large number, and they're all veterans, and you know, veterans tend to be independent. So,
well, really, General.
Yeah, but I tell you what, it was probably the best. I've truly enjoyed it. I enjoyed all of my times in uniform.
Well, and we've enjoyed hearing your message every week on the show for all of those years that you've been the commissioner. And of course, you come on the show and we talk about things that are going on things like the Commander's Task Force, which is you call your board of directors mm-hmm. for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yes, they're in fact, they're maturing much better. They're over the years, it started from a kind of a loose group getting together. To all of a sudden, now they've, through their leadership and over the years, and Ben Johnson on my staff kind of works with them.
Your legislative director.
Yep.
And your chief of staff works with them.
That's correct.
We've been up to the annual training sessions at Camp Ripley for the last few years.
And so, you know more than your listeners that there's a structure to it. They argue it out. They figure it out. But when you get all the veterans organizations united on an issue and so forth, that's an extremely powerful force.
And, of course, the last few years they've had Veterans Day on the Hill up at the Capitol.
Oh, yes.
And the Commander's Task Force is a big part of that. They put together their legislative initiatives every year.
Yep.
And you attend those meetings, and then they publish those things, and they bus veterans in, and they take them up on the hill. And
yeah.
It's turned into quite an event, hasn't it?
When you talk just about that the Commander's Task Force objectives. It doesn't mean that someone else can't come in with their specific project for the local area, but the concept of uniting all of the veteran service organizations into that common objective has been very, very helpful for the state of Minnesota, and we have been able to advance, I think, on a state level significantly. I'm very, very proud of the state of Minnesota.
And, sir, for our listeners, the Commander's Task Force is made up of the commanders of the 9 veteran service organizations that are federally chartered, such as VFW, the American Legion, the DAV, Purple Hearts, and I'm going to miss some of them, but there's 9 of them.
Yeah.
And they work together closely, and they combine their membership when they go up on the Hill. And for the state legislators, I think it's become a great resource so they can get some input on what's going on with our veterans and their families and what kind of help they need.
Some even start sending us things up. Well, how would I say this? I think the phrase is test the waters first. They'll come and pass it by the Commander's Task Force or find out how it reacts how the commander's task force reacted to it.
So there's a good give and take then.
Well, you know, obviously, if I were a legislator, I'd want to get my bill edited or tested first before I put it in front of everybody.
That makes sense, sir. That's a great resource. And, of course, that's your board of directors. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shalito from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, 2018, you've had some big accomplishments, and one of the things that happened was the state legislature approved three new veterans' homes coming up in Preston, Montevideo, and Bemidji. First time in years that we've added any new homes, isn't it?
Well, yes. And it takes a while. And I should point out, too, that they've got permission to apply. It's not like something they're not going to build it next week or next year type of thing. It's a process that they go through. But what happens is it'll go to the federal VA and get on their list. And through that, then they will help. And they put a significant portion of funding that goes with it. Of note, however, it was kind of interesting, but we just spent about a week and a half ago, we went to Montevideo, had a special event go on there where a Vietnam veteran who worked for he worked for a small company called Hormel. I'm not sure. Anyway, long story short, he donated $2.8 million.
Towards the construction of that veteran zone.
In Montevideo. And Bemidji has got strong community support up there, too. They're getting well-positioned to go and what I in the military would say pull the trigger, if you will, getting that happening. And then Preston down in the south.
Rochester.
Yes. So that's going very, very well.
Commissioner, it looks like there's two big wins there. Number one, we've had a lot of people on the waiting list to get into the veterans' homes. And number two, we try to have enough veterans' homes around the state so that people's veterans can be close to home as possible instead of all being clustered down here in Twin Cities.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out because I remember getting a call from a daughter who was in tears and upset because the VA said, all right, we have space available. In this case, it was the St. Cloud facility. So he would be staying in St. Cloud, where mom would be way up in northern Minnesota. And they're in the twilight years of their marriage and their life, you know. And
many hundreds of miles apart.
Yeah, 100 miles apart. And the daughter just, why can't we bring him home? Why can't we put him closer to mom? And get the care, and then, of course, obviously, money is the issue in many cases, and so we're working those type of issues out so that those final years are valued years.
And these new homes are going to help with that, I'm sure, quite a bit.
Yes, very much.
Commissioner,
so.
One other thing that, there's many things, but another thing that you've been able to accomplish on your watch is we've opened some new state veteran cemeteries. In addition to the one in Little Falls, we opened one down in Preston a couple of years ago, and you recently opened one in Duluth.
Yes, and again, the same concept of being close to family, close to home.
So instead of all the veterans being out at Fort Snelling, if they spent their life up in Fergus Falls, for instance, they could be buried in Little Falls, and you can go visit on Memorial Day, and it's convenient, closer to home.
There's something about, you know, and I'll just use this as an example. I get to Camp Ripley every now and then driving by, and I always go and drive through the state cemetery right there.
It's a beautiful place.
Beautiful place. But of note is never once did I ever not see a family member at a gravesite.
Visiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's eerie, if you will, but it's... you know, it's the right thing to do. I'll just leave it at that.
It's the right thing to do, and I haven't been down to Preston yet, but I understand it's a beautiful hilly location, and some people have compared it to the big cemetery out in Washington, D.C., Arlington.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. In fact, the only complaint I ever got were from the deer hunters.
Because we took their land. So,
that, but you know, you go down, you got the Rush River down below, noted for its trout fishing. I mean, it's It's just absolutely beautiful.
Commissioner, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about 2018 and 2019 coming up. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shalito from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with the Commissioner, Larry Shalito, from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And, Commissioner, we're talking a little bit about all some of the things that your department has been able to complete this year. We talked, and over your years as Commissioner, we talked a little bit about the new veterans' homes. We've talked about the new veterans' cemeteries. We've been covering over the 8 years phases 1, 2, and 3 of remodeling out at the Minnesota campus of the Veterans Home out there, and building 22 is finally done.
Yes, it is. It's when I first started the job, they were just getting the first funding to start doing the work, and they've gone through the phases. But building 22 is truly a state-of-the-art facility. It's massive in many ways. The beauty that I like about it is our veterans each will get a private room, so that it's not doubled up or things like that. They don't have to share a bathroom.
So that's a new state-of-the-art 100-bed skilled care facility?
Yes, it's and with the skilled care too. It's first those veterans who need the most attention. Obviously, things like Alzheimer's, dementia, if you will, and so forth, are things that require a lot of awareness, supervision,
and attention,
so forth, to take care of them.
So you've added a great new facility out there. I'm reminded, we talked in the first segment about the Commander's Task Force. I'm reminded that when you were trying to get the funding for Phase 3, we had the American Legion commander here in the radio, and he was pounding on the table so loud you could hear it.
Yes.
And, of course, that year we got the rest of the funding, and
yeah,
he was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, the only thing that we really have left, I believe, on that Minneapolis campus is the historical bridge. It's a bridge that a lot of the supplies would come across and so forth, bigger trucks, and they found some structural cracks in it. And then all of a sudden, to get it corrected, the contractor versus the state going back and forth. We think we got that settled down now, and we're going to be able to open that back up.
So that bridge has been closed down for a few years, and just this year the legislature approved some funding for that.
That is correct, yes.
So is that going to be a couple more years to get that fixed up?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. It's because you got two forces. The historical aspect of that bridge goes back to the early 1900s.
So they want to protect the integrity of how it was built.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And yet also the integrity of it,
the
taking
structures.
Over the new. Yeah, they didn't have big semis loaded with food back then.
A heavier load factor now.
That's correct.
Commissioner, you also were able to open the nation's first veterans home dental care facility out there.
Oh, that was just awesome. And it was in the veterans home at Minneapolis, we had a dentist that was coming in, and he was a retired dentist, but he had a number of other offices, other dentists don't work for him. But long story short, they said, why do we send them over to the Minneapolis VA to get treated when we have a space here that we could just be perfect and do it? So long story short, we now have a state-of-the-art dental site right on the Minneapolis campus. You know, it's not massive.
For those veterans that are patients there,
They
need some emergency dental care, they can get it done right on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are in wheelchairs and, you know, and those types of things. So that could you do it, you know, transportation-wise, I suppose. But having it right there is just awesome.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shalito from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, you've had a long career. You were an educator You're a retired brevet, three-star general, spent a lot of years in the military, and now you've spent the last 8 years as commissioner. We've talked about this before. Some people refer to you as a nickname for the educator, and some people call you general, and some people call you commissioner. But you're kind of coming to the end of the run of your public service because you're not, you haven't applied to be the commissioner under the new governor-elect. So does this mean retirement is in your future?
Yes. it does, yeah. The actually, it was kind of nice with all the different titles, as I could then sector out how do I know this person or the, that type of thing. But yeah, it's I've made those promises. My wife has been at my side all the time and been key. We're at a situation now where we have grandkids that are at that age. Either you just pay attention to them, or they'll outgrow you, and you know, because they're growing up awful fast. So we will take them on, like my two grandsons, we took them to Orlando, Florida once, Yvonne and I. And I always refer to them as my security guards. They thought that was pretty good. So,
Every general has to have some security guards.
That is correct. We just saw our granddaughter got a video. I mean, she's in like third grade and fourth grade, and she's playing violin, and I'm just so impressed. And I go, I don't want to miss that stuff anymore. I'm ready to settle down that way.
General, it's been a lot of years since the jungles of Vietnam. We both served over there, and a lot of our Vietnam veterans now are under your care at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But where did all those decades go, and how many years did you end up serving in the military? Decades.
Well I got my opportunity to join the military in 1968. I was there, then I got out in 71, and I was out, back then it was, the war was not that popular, and so you pretty much learn very quickly not to talk about it publicly. But then in 72, I said, you know, I'm missing it. I mean, what I was doing was fine, great, I enjoyed it, but it didn't have that same level of intensity, if you will. So I joined the Guard. And I joined it. I said, I'll stay in it as long as it lasts. So I started out as a lieutenant, a platoon leader then, and then a company commander, then the three at the battalion, then the battalion commander, then I went up to the three to the brigade, then the brigade commander, then I was up in the division, and I got to be a division commander, and that was going good. Everything was going fine, and then the opportunity came up for the tag position.
The adjutant general.
The adjutant general. I applied for that, and I got the job. Governor Plenty appointed me for that job.
It was a seven-year term.
Seven-year term.
Took that to the end and retired as a brevet, three-star general, lieutenant.
Well, no, then I went to work for Dayton.
As a commissioner of the NDVA.
Commissioner, so actually it served me well because everyone says either you're this color or that color. And I said, well, wait a minute. I worked for this color and I worked for that color, both leaders, you know, so which one do you think I am? And the beauty of it the beauty of the military has always been it's the mission. Focus on the mission. And
Commissioner, we've only got about a minute left, but it's been an absolute joy to interview so many times on this radio show and be with you to build this up to 55 stations and get the word out about all the good work you do to take care of our veterans at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And we hope that in retirement we can find an excuse for you to come back and visit us once in a while.
Okay, you will, because Tom and I want to say this very, very sincerely. You are the voice of Minnesota's military, and I just want to say thank you for your service, continued service as a veteran. And there's something about veterans that they're not done giving. You know, you just
we took that oath, General, and nobody ever relieved us of it. So true. There's still more work to do.
Yeah, how does that phrase go? man your post until properly relieved? Is that it or something?
Nobody ever relieved me. Did they relieve you, sir?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Commissioner, thank you very much for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio, and we'll wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. I'll be in touch.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to speak with Minnesota's Adjutant General. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In the second half of the show here, we get to talk to Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen, who's in the studio. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, great to be back with you. Thank you.
General, I think it'd be nice for our listeners to know a little bit about how things are organized in Minnesota. We've got a new governor starting, and he has like a board of directors, and one member of that board is the Minnesota's Adjutant General. So that's one of your jobs.
Yeah, that's correct, Tom. So, you know, really the Adjutant General's position is, it's got two functions to it. The traditional function that most people are familiar with is the Adjutant General, head of the Minnesota National Guard, 11,000 Army soldiers, 2,000 airmen, 61 community centers across the state, two major air wings in the state. So that's kind of the traditional position that most people think of. But in addition to that, I also sit as a cabinet member to the governor, as the director, or I'm sorry, as the adjutant general to the Department of Military Affairs. So the military affairs is a smaller part of our agency, approximately 470 state employees located at Camp Ripley, Duluth, St. Cloud, St. Paul. And basically what they do, what we do, is we oversee and support the military operations of the National Guard when it's operating under the authority of Title 32, or which is traditionally considered our state role. So kind of dual-headed. I certainly answer to the governor as the commissioner of the Department of Military Affairs, and then also work with the chief of National Guard Bureau, the director of the Air Guard, director of the Army Guard, as well as the secretary of the Air Force and secretary of the Army. So, you know, kind of like you, Tom, I got a lot of bosses, and I try to keep them all happy.
And, sir, you took over that position a little over a year ago, and it's actually a 7-year term. You were appointed by Governor Dayton.
That's correct. Governor Dayton selected me to replace Major General Rick Nash when General Nash retired, effective 1 November 2017. So I'm about 12 and a half months into that tenure.
And now that Governor Dayton is done with his term, Tim Walz is the governor-elect, and he was a command sergeant major in the Minnesota Army National Guard for quite a few years.
Yes, he served in the Minnesota National Guard. We're very proud that one of ours has, you know, become the governor. It's very, very unique in that sense. So as you can imagine, the other adjutants general across the nation are very interested in my new boss having a former guardsman, a retired guardsman, as the governor. So, you know, but really, I think it's true regardless of party, regardless of position. Whomever had won that election, I'm sure we would have had a great relationship with, because whether I'm working with our partners in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, the one thing that they rally around and really come to support is our service members here in Minnesota and our families. So we're very appreciative of that, and we're very lucky to have that.
And, sir, one of the other things that changed when you took over as Adjutant General was you were an Army General. You were the 34th Infantry Division Commander. You were Assistant Tag. But now you're in charge of also the air units, the 148th Fighter Wing and the 133rd Airlift Wing.
Yeah, and I'm very proud of that because we have two great flying wings here in Minnesota. Our 148th up in Duluth flying F-16s in their suppression of air defense mission, and then our C-130 wing here in Minneapolis. Just both of them are fabulous wings. I'm very proud of that. I haven't gone as far as learning the song or the words to the Air Force song yet. Maybe that's my goal for 2019.
I'll help you with that, sir. The other thing that's unique about the National Guard is you have a federal mission and a state mission. Could you tell us a little about that, sir?
Yeah, our federal mission, you know, most of our budget comes from the federal government, you know, over 95% of that. And so what people traditionally view as our federal mission kind of leads towards our deployments. And so in 2018, you know, we had an exceptionally busy year in the Minnesota National Guard, about 1,500 soldiers/airmen deployed last year in support of our federal mission. you know, the Duluth base 148 sent about 500 airmen overseas to the Middle East in support of CENTCOM. Our 34th Infantry Division, Red Bull headquarters, is currently over in Kuwait and Jordan with 600 soldiers. But, you know, those are the ones that a lot of people know of and hear about. But also, you know, our 851st Vertical Engineer Company from Camp Ripley deployed, our 147th Human Resources Company out of Arden Hills, the 347th Regional Support Group out of Brooklyn Park, the 147th Finance out of Arden Hills, and St. Cloud's Charlie Company, two of the 211th Aviation. You know, those are our units that deployed over the course of the year, and some of them have come back, for example, the 148th. Currently, as of 26 December, you know, we still have 992 soldiers and airmen deployed across eight countries, as well as the United States. So, you know, business in that regard is still very good. On the civilian side, then, Tom, I think, you know, our support to civilian authorities. An example of that would be our support to the Minneapolis Police Department here during Super Bowl 52. Where the Joint Force Headquarters or their state headquarters, the 148th, the 133rd Air Wing out of Minneapolis, the 34th Aviation Brigade out of St. Paul, the 84th Troop Command out of Cambridge, the 151 Field Artillery from Western Minnesota, and the 34th MP Company from Stillwater all came down here to Minneapolis to support Minneapolis, Bloomington, Hennepin County Sheriff's Department, as we provided security to Super Bowl 52.
And the coldest week we've seen in years, sir.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, I when I meet somebody from Philadelphia or that are Eagles fans, I always ask them, you know, did you go to the Super Bowl? And a couple of them said yes, and I always ask them about the weather, and they always have some story about how it was the coldest, you know, week of their life. You know, so that was something local, but we also support emergencies throughout the entire United States. For example, Hurricane Michael and Hurricane Florence. Hurricane Michael, the hurricane hit Florida this last year, and Hurricane Florence hit the East Coast. You know, we supported our brothers and sisters in the Florida National Guard and in the South Carolina National Guard in assisting them to respond to their state and their citizens and their governor. So, you know, it's something that we do annually throughout the United States.
We're speaking with Major General John Jensen on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, we've been on the radio for, we're in our ninth year here, and of course I spent the first 7 years with General Nash, and he had a lot of priorities and a lot of things he wanted to focus on. You're at the end of the first year of your seven-year term. Have your priorities turned a little bit, perhaps a little bit different than the prior Adjutant General?
Well, you know, many things that General Nash had as a priority remain priorities for me and for our organization. We might have moved the words around a little bit to put it more in my voice than General Nash's voice. But really, these things are, I think, are constant between the Adjutants General, at least here in Minnesota. For me, first and foremost, we are people first organization. So my first objective, my first priorities all lay out towards our soldiers, our airmen, and our families, because we're in the people business. Without soldiers, without airmen, without families, you know, we can't do our mission. So, you know, this gets to, you know, the diversity of the organization, the importance of diversity. We continue to try to meet and exceed the diversity numbers here in Minnesota. Approximately, Minnesota right now is about 19% diverse racially, ethnically. We're right behind that. We're about 18.5% inside the Minnesota National Guard, and we'll continue to focus on that. As part of that, inclusion becomes a bigger and bigger part of the organization, making sure that all of our people feel part of the organization. And then, you know, as part of that, you know, our family support, as I mentioned, our families are a key part of this. So the Yellow Ribbon Network, you know, remains very, very important. You know, the second priority would be leader development. You know, how do we grow our soldiers into leaders? How do we support them as they become leaders? The opportunities that we provide them, whether it's mentorship or the challenge of a new position. And again, it gets back to the inclusion aspect of our organization. Thirdly would be the safety and security of our soldiers and our airmen. You know, we have to provide a safe workplace for all of our employees, whether they're our state employees, our soldiers, our airmen. So that's always very important to me. You know, a work environment free of harassment, free of threat is very important. And that would include resiliency as well. And then our last two kind of get more towards what we're doing today, as well as our readiness. So fiscal and property responsibility gets to, I believe, our combat readiness. We're using our resources to build readiness. And then finally, communication and partnership for our families with the Yellow Ribbon, our employers, our federal partners, our state partners, as well as our international partners, Norway and Croatia, who we are very proud of. So, you know, those are kind of my words. I think you would find most of those things, if not all of them, nested in General Nash's priorities as well.
Sounds pretty familiar, General. So we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about 2019 and what's coming up for the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard here in Minnesota. We're speaking with Major General John Jensen on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. And, sir, we were talking about your priorities and diversification of the force, trying to make the force look like the mix of folks that are here in Minnesota. And we've been working on that for years, and you're still doing that. But one of the things that, from my viewpoint, that I've seen that's changed drastically since 40 years ago, and particularly over the last 10 years, is more and more women are serving in the military. And of course, a lot of them are serving in the Minnesota National Guard. And the old saying about next man up now is next soldier or airman up, because it could be men or women. It's the next person up, the next most qualified.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Tom. You know, one of the things that for me that has always appealed to me about military service is the opportunity that it provides you. And what's great about today's military is that all of our opportunities in the Minnesota National Guard are now open up to our entire population. So as you mentioned, you know, our female airmen and female soldiers have got the same opportunities now that that the men have had for decades and decades, you know, specifically talking about combat arms. And so, you know, it's really important to our organization as we look at, you know, the leadership of our organization. You know, every year we'll bring a new batch of senior leaders into the organization. So, you know, we look at first and foremost, you know, at our own internal policies first, just to make sure that our internal policies support what we list as our goals and our objectives as it relates to diversifying our force. And so, you know, this leads us to decisions and leads us to the development of all of our leaders. You know, one example would be Lieutenant Colonel Kristen Auge, who's commanding the division battalion over in Kuwait right now. It's the first time that we've had on the Army side a female battalion commander in theater. So we're really excited for everything that she's doing. Also excited about, you know, her future development and where that's going. But it's just not her, and it's just not the officer corps. I believe this year we're going to promote a female CW4, a chief warrant officer 4, into a chief warrant officer 5 position. It'd be the first time we've done that in a long, long time. And our NCO corps continues to grow as it relates to opportunities for females. You know, I see that we'll be promoting a female E8 into a sergeant major position here pretty early in 2019. So we're excited about that. And, you know, my goal is, as it relates to inclusion, that this just becomes, you know, more and more common. And then, you know, pretty soon you no longer have to talk about it because it's just the way the organization is and has become.
So, sir, for all our listeners out there, there's opportunities for women in every job is open, and they can move from the bottom all the way to the top.
That's right. As a matter of fact, we're sending one of our great female NCOs to Cav Scout School here in January, so she'll come back and be able to compete in that career profession, which is really exciting. You know, she'll at some point be lucky enough, if she works hard, to earn her spurs and her Stetson, and then she'll be a true Cav Scout.
General, one of the great assets in the state of Minnesota is the Camp Ripley Training Center. It's a state asset, and it's one of the best training facilities in the country. From my observation is it allows your troops, your soldiers and airmen, to train closer to home when they're preparing for deployments, and it eases the separation from families just a bit.
Yeah, and you saw that certainly with the deployment of the 34th Infantry Division headquarters. We spent a lot of time at Camp Ripley with them. And as you said, you know, being able to train there instead of having to go somewhere outside of the state reduces that travel time, so it increases time with the families. We're continuing to build more lodging in that up at Camp Ripley so we can continue to bring more and more soldiers. What I'm really excited about Camp Ripley is, again, you know, this was an award-winning year for Camp Ripley, 2018 Department of Defense Environmental Award, specifically relating to their cultural resource management. And this is just an amazing project. So installation-wide, they conducted a survey of over 300 archaeological sites and partnered with our great partners, the Leech Lake Band Heritage, or the Leech Lake Band, looking at the heritage sites in order to inventory all of those historic sites. So just a phenomenal work up there, you know, Brigadier General Cruz and Colonel Melton and Command Sergeant Major Matthew Erickson just do a great job up there, as everybody up there at the Camp Ripley Enterprise does.
We're speaking with Major General John Jensen on Minnesota Military Radio. General, it seems just another observation, like we're in part of the deployment cycle where it's getting busier again. I mean, it was quite busy some years ago, and then it kind of settled down. Now you've got a lot of troops out, and it sounds like a bunch more going next year.
Yeah, we could have 3 years in a row here where we deploy our division headquarters and then our aviation brigade and then possibly our first armored brigade combat team as major organizations. I mean, there'll be a lot of smaller units, both in the Army and the Air, that are part of that as well. But we haven't done that in the past, where we've gone back to back to back for quite a few years. And so, you know, in 2019, what we're going to see is our first brigade team conduct an exportable combat training capability exercise, you know, to really get that collective training level proficiency. And that will ultimately prepare them to return back to Fort Irwin in the National Training Center. Our aviation brigade, you know, will do their final readiness checks and collective training events this year in 2019, with right now a scheduled deployment to the Middle East in 2019. And so that just goes on and on and on. It's becoming, you know, just part of our regular business. I believe, you know, in 2018, about 1,500 soldiers and airmen, as I stated. 2019, 1,500 soldiers and airmen again. And then 2020 could be significantly higher than that. But we'll see about that. And while that's all going on, you know, we continue the things that we've done for decades. For example, the Norwegian Exchange. I think, you know, we're quickly approaching the 50th anniversary of that event. This year's 46, and so, you know, that will continue to be on our plate and something that we really value in terms of a partnership and a training exercise. And our partnership with Croatia continues to grow and grow, and we'll very quickly get to 25 years with Croatia, and it's an exciting time for them as they move into NATO platforms like an F-16, UH-60s, and Bradley fighting vehicles. We have all three of those platforms in the Minnesota Guard, so in a way, their modernization and their move to NATO is actually bringing the Minnesota National Guard and our great friends in Croatia closer and closer together, so we're incredibly excited about the potential of that partnership as well.
General, it seems like we just sent some troops to the National Training Center. It seems like it was yesterday, but I suppose it was a couple of years ago. Now you've got it coming up again, and from my viewpoint, it looks like every time you're out on a deployment, every time you're out on a mission, we ace it, we do a great job, and your reward is they want you to do more.
Yeah, that's the penalty of being good. You know, our organizations recruit better than anyone in the nation. We retain our soldiers, both in the Army and the Air. It's amazing when you look at our personnel readiness. And we can do that in part because of our community support. And what I'd like to talk about just very quickly, our employer support. You know, 65 businesses across Minnesota are now members of the Yellow Ribbon Network. We value that. We need that. Our employers continue to support our soldiers and airmen, and we can't do it without employer support. So all of our employers are out there, whether they're large Fortune 500 company or maybe just a small mom and pop shop. If you employ a Minnesota Guardsman or really any reserve component service member, thank you very much for your contribution to your country. Because I know that comes with challenges. So thank you very much, Minnesota.
General, you're sending soldiers and airmen all over the world, and every year you've got a certain number of soldiers and airmen that retire. So you've got to recruit and add at the bottom every year over 1,000 troops. From what I hear, the Minnesota National Guard has done a really good job of that compared to some other outfits across the nation.
No, that's true. We continue to meet our enlistment mission every year in the Air and the Army Guard. And as a result, they're asking us to do a little bit more and a little bit more every year. And so far, we've been able to accomplish the mission. And, you know, there's some stress and some pressure associated with that. But our great leaders and our great soldiers and airmen are able to respond to that and continue to accomplish the mission, really setting the example for other states to follow. So I'm very proud of that. I understand it's not like that everywhere, so I don't take it for granted. And I understand the incredible amount of work that our recruiting battalion and our Air Guard recruiters put in to ensure that we have the best quality soldiers and airmen possible.
General, just a few seconds left. Any final thoughts?
2018 went by very, very quickly, and I'm sure 2019 is going to. You know, I would just say, you know, we've got the greatest soldiers and airmen available, and our families are just phenomenal. The support and the love that they give back to us is just amazing. So, you know, to our families, to our employers, you know, thanks for the support. We can't do it without them.
General, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we find out what the Minneapolis VA has planned for 2019 and get some information on building healthy military communities. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.